Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
You may use, you may have an actual Bible. I invite your attention to Matthew chapter number 5. I put on social media just the other day. I had to buy a new Bible. Now, y'all, I have 20 Bibles on one of my shelves at home. But when I do sermon preparation, I like to have a nice, comfortable Bible. So I've torn them apart. So I need to buy me a new Bible. Matthew chapter number 5. We're going to be looking at verses 21 through 26. I'm looking forward to sharing God's word on today. Here's what it says. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raka, is answerable to the court. Anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and reconcile to them, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. This is the word of God for the people of God. The word of God is already blessed. Now, this morning is a bit of a unique morning, so I might need you to walk across to talk to somebody. You got enough room now, so I need y'all to be engaged. Let it be, because ain't nobody sitting next to me. I ain't gonna say that. No, we're gonna be engaged on today. Do me a favor, because this is gonna help somebody. Look at your neighbor, turn around, reach across, look at a neighbor, get a neighbor in sight. Say, neighbor, good morning. Good to see you. Glad in church. This morning's sermon is hating you is hurting me. Let's look at another neighbor. Look at another neighbor. Walk across the room. Run across. Hey! Good morning. Good to see you. This morning's sermon is hating you is hurting me. Amen. The word of God. You may be seated in the presence of God. Hating you is hurting me. Let's go before God in prayer. Lord, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily. That these your people would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength and our redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now I'll wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open my eyes and lift me. God, prepare us to receive your word. Prepare our minds. Prepare our hearts. Prepare our spirits. That we may hear, thus says the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
And amen.
Hating you is hurting me. Anger is a feeling that erupts in us when someone does something wrong to us, or when we think they've done something wrong to us. And the reality is, when we feel like somebody has done something wrong to us, it seems that it's right for them to receive every single bit of our anger. It's their fault. They did it, and so when I snap, they wouldn't have been bothering me. I wouldn't. Okay, so anger. Anger can sometimes be like a wild lion that gets out of a cage and rips apart everything. And you come home after work and you done slapped your child and they ain't do nothing. It's because somebody got on your nerves and we're going to kick the dog. And you just mad. You're like, what in the world happened to them? Go back to work. Whatever you came home with is now ripping everybody else apart. Have you ever done things while you were angry that you wish you could just get back? I mean, have you ever been driving in traffic and somebody cuts you off and you speed up and you catch them at the red light only to look over and realize, you know what, I can't beat them. I'm sorry, you got it. I wish I could have just took that back. Have you ever gotten angry and punched the wall and broke your hand while you was mad? Cause you, and now you in the emergency room cause you done hurt yourself. Because you ever got on the phone with somebody, got so mad and threw your own phone down, now you looking like, I done broke my own. Anger. Sometimes we do some things when we are angry that we just wish we could take back. Have you ever said something while you were angry that you wish you could take back? You know, you get mad and you want them heated arguments, and all of a sudden you flop, your mama can't cook anyway. I probably shouldn't have said that. I know you ain't talking with your little nappy head child. I should have probably called her child nappy. I mean, the child's hair got some texture to it. I probably shouldn't have said. Have you ever done or said something while you were angry that you wish, God, if I could just take that, if I had him 9 seconds back, I wouldn't have said it like that. Anger can sometimes get the best of you, and at the time it feels right and even necessary because someone has wronged you or something has happened that seems to be against you. Anger is a powerful emotion. First book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 4, tells the story of Cain killing his own brother Abel. We looked at it the other day in our Uplift Bible study. And in anger, Cain reaches out to kill his own brother. But listen, the Bible does not call all anger bad. So I want to make sure we understand that. All anger is, Jesus got angry. There's something called righteous indignation, where there's something that's being an affront against God. And so Jesus even got angry. So all anger is not bad. Our issue is when we harbor it and we let it take control of our lives. Anger has a powerful impact on us. Ephesians chapter number 4, verses 26 and 27 puts it like this. Be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. And it says, don't give the devil an opportunity, or don't give the devil room in your heart. Be angry, that's fine, but deal with it and get over it. Our issue is that we get angry and we hold it for months and for now. I ain't going to their party. They got mad with you 9 years ago and you still won't. No, I ain't dealing with them. We hold it for 10, 15, 20 years for something that has happened to us a long time ago, and the devil uses that to move into our lives and to take up residence in our minds and in our hearts. And you come to church every week and you feel justified in your anger because of how somebody treated you. Pastor, you don't understand what they did to me. You don't understand how they ruined my life. You don't understand how bad they hurt me. And I want to help somebody this morning, my brothers and my sisters, by letting you know that God wants you to move beyond the anger because he has so much more for you. God sent me by with the words to let you know that the devil is holding you hostage to anger.
But today, Jesus helps us find hope and healing. Here we are, book of Matthew. Matthew is placed first in the Gospels in the New Testament, not because it was the first one written, it was actually Mark, but because Matthew wrote the genealogy of Jesus, Matthew, in good brother Matthew's book. What's interesting about Matthew is that he's writing to Jewish people. He's writing to Jewish people. He has them in mind, people who understood and who valued the Old Testament, who valued the law of Moses. That's who Matthew is writing to. He wants them to see that Jesus is the Messiah and he is the supreme teacher of the law of Moses. That's Matthew's whole thrust throughout the book. And the first teachings that Jesus does in Matthew is recorded as the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through 7. And that's where we are hanging our hat this morning, chapter number 5. You see, Jesus's popularity had already began to spread, and they want to know, that, okay, can we find this dude who is healing people, who is teaching? And so crowds of people had shown up. Jesus saw the crowd. Text says he went up on a mountain. He sat down, and he began to talk to them. Verse 21, Jesus quotes from Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. He says, y'all heard it said, don't murder. I know y'all know all about that. I know y'all know it's wrong. Y'all know you will end up in court if you murder somebody. Now listen, if Jesus would have said, y'all know, don't murder, because murdering is bad, you end up in court. Okay, cool. I mean, I've had some thoughts, but Jesus, I ain't never did. So I'm good. Checklist, I'm good to go. But Jesus does not stop there. Jesus went on to say, but I say to you that everyone who gets angry with his brother or sister is guilty before the court. Hold up, Jesus, time out, flag on the plate. Maybe, I know you're supposed to know all, but did you see what that joke is? Jesus, I got right to be angry with this one. This leads us to our first point, brothers and sisters. Harboring anger is deadly. Say that again. Harboring anger is deadly. Found this quote the other day. It said, a resentment or anger is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. It's like drinking poison because you're mad and you wait for it to have impact on the other person. Doctors from Coral Gables, Florida, they did this study, y'all. They compared the efficiency of a beating heart with 18 men who had heart disease and 9 men who did not. Here's what they did. They took the men, 18 who had issues with their heart, 9 who did not. That's their test case. And they put them on an exercise bike and they let them work their heart up. And then they gave them some mental tests. You had to do some math in your head. You had to recall some recent events that got you angry. Then you had to do a short speech in defense of yourself when somebody has lied on you. That's the thing they had to do. You had to give them a bicycle and a ride. Then you had to do some mental tests. You got to do some math in your head. Then you got to recall a time when somebody really ticked you off. And then you got to imagine a speech where you're defending yourself for something you know you did not even do. Here's what they found. They used sophisticated technology and they began to x-ray and do some scans on the people's hearts. And here's what they found. When they got angry, their hearts began to produce less blood for their bodies. And they got angry, their heart began to produce less blood for their bodies. And for people who had heart disease, they were at higher risk of dying because of their anger. All I'm trying to say is, my brothers and my sisters, harboring anger and hurt actually is just like drinking poison and waiting for the other joker to drop dead. Jesus wants us to see that anger does not just have an impact on us, though. It also has an impact and effect when we express it to others. In these verses, Jesus wants us to see that anger shows up in all kinds of ways, not just murder. Check this out. In these verses, Jesus says, you might not murder anybody. Y'all walk with me here. He says, you might not murder anybody, but you may respond with the word raka. Y'all don't know what raka is. That's fine. I'm going to help you out. Jesus says, you might not murder him. You might not murder him. Jesus says, but when you get mad, you might respond with the word raka. Pastor, What is that? Raka is an Aramaic cuss word. Jesus says, when you get mad, no, you don't murder nobody, but you start cussing everybody out around you because you are mad. Jesus is saying, you get angry and you start cussing folks out. You get angry and you begin to call them all kind of names. If you can't say amen, at least say ouch. As soon as somebody cross you, bleh, I can't believe you done that. As soon as you think they talking about you, I know that, bleh, I ain't saying nothing against me. As soon as your mind goes back down memory lane, you just walking in the house by yourself, bleep, 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 and ain't nobody there but you. Jesus says sometimes your response to anger ain't that you murder anybody physically, but you begin to cuss them. And anybody know you had some rock cars in your life? You had some experiences. Well, Lord, I know I am certainly. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbors. Is it you? Is it you? You had some of those experiences. Go to church every Sunday. Wake up early. You read your daily devotional. Got gospel music on your iPhone playlist and your Pandora playlist. You spiritual. But as soon as somebody says something negative about you, you better mind your bleep. You got the t-shirt that says, I'm saved, but I'll still cuss you out. Okay, so here it is. Some of y'all, that ain't you. You spiritual. I've been saved a long time, so I don't do that no more. I'm past. I ain't cussing out no more. That ain't true. And so you think you good. But Jesus says, if you don't cuss them, you start calling them names like fool and stupid and ugly. You nasty. You broke. You began to do the name calling thing. Jesus is saying that you have heard it said that it's wrong to murder, but I'm saying as long as you're holding anger in and cussing folk out and calling them names, you are just as sinful as the person who commits murder. Then Jesus takes it a step further. He says, your actions, watch this, put you in danger of the fire of hell. Let me explain that. Y'all may be thinking that, you know, hell, where the devil is. That's not what Jesus means here. Fire of hell, or Gehenna in that day, was not the fire of hell that we may think of where the devil is. What Jesus was referring to was a valley south of Jerusalem that was once used to sacrifice infants and then became used to discard waste and to burn trash. Let me try it again. Jesus says, when you begin to harbor anger, you are now subject to hell, Gehenna, the place where they used to sacrifice infants. Now they throw dung, they throw waste, they throw feces. I'm saying these words, not to say other words. They throw trash there and they begin to burn it. Jesus says, you are subject to that. In other words, Jesus is saying, when you harbor anger, you are willingly jumping into a pile of dung. That's a good word. You are willingly jumping into a pile of manure, a pile of trash that should waste away. And whether you know it or not, my brothers and my sisters, as long as you allow the devil to keep you trapped in anger, you are now wallowing in a pile of manure. And you wonder why people don't want to deal with you. Maybe it's because your anger has you smelling like trash. It has you smelling like trash. But it goes further. Not only is anger deadly, he then says, anger hinders your worship. Anger hinders your worship. Daniel, can you hear me real quick? I'm gonna have Daniel help us out with something. Jesus says, if you are coming to God and you've got your offering and your gift at the altar, and you remember that you got some issues with your brother or with your sister, leave it at the altar and go fix that before you come bring your stuff before God. Listen, what Jesus is describing here is not a required ritual offering. No. Jesus is talking about when you now have gotten to the point where you're saying, God, I want more of you. God, I'm looking for you to do something amazing in my life. God, I'm looking for my next level. And you come to God and you're begging God for something and you remember that you've got an issue with your brother, with your sister. Jesus said, hold on, go fix that and then come back. Let me help you understand why Jesus is saying this. Daniel, strong brother, he kind of stocky, so Daniel,
Daniel is going to represent us. Daniel, this is what they said about you. When you were 10 years old, how they said you weren't going to make it, you weren't going to mount to nothing. You weren't smart enough, wasn't good enough, wasn't fast enough, wasn't tall enough, wasn't light-skinned enough, whatever. All this, they said that about you. This is that time you trusted your friend with an investment, and the joker took the money and lied on you. He took what you hoped that he was going to do something good with, and he used it and then lied on you. This is the time when you trust somebody with your heart, and she broke your heart until you met your wife, but it's still there. This is the time when you thought mom and them were going to be there for you. They're going to have your back for you. You're harboring all of that. This is the time when they misused you at work. They didn't recognize all your qualities and all your skill sets. This is the time when you tried your best to do something, but everybody said you wasn't good enough. Everybody said your business wasn't going to succeed. And you come to church. Do me a favor. Lift your hands and worship. We got a problem. You can't. God says when you come to church Sunday in and Sunday out, and you're trying to, but you got all of this stuff that they did to you. You got all of this stuff, and you wondering why I come to church week in and week out, and I can't feel nothing. I don't feel like God is hearing my prayers. I've been praying week in and week out, and I don't think it's getting through. I don't think God even sees me. It's because you're holding on to stuff that you should have let go a long time ago. Jesus says, when you come to God and the devil is holding you hostage to all of this stuff, you cannot even freely worship God because you got too much anger in your life. He says, I want you to go back and begin to say, you know what? I ain't going to be mad at you no more, because I know what I want to do is get to a place in my life where I ain't worried about you. Okay, you can get this line. I admit that. But I'm over it now. I know you did. That's why you talked about me, but I'm moving on now. Because when I go before the presence of God, I want to be able to lift my hands. I want to be able to scream and worship God, because I need God to do some stuff in my life, and I don't have time to walk around withholding what you did to me years ago. I'm over it now. Thank you so much. Some of y'all been come to church week in, week out. I don't feel nothing. Why? I don't think God is hearing me. I've been praying for my breakthrough and nothing's happened. I've been praying for my miracle and nothing. I've been giving and nothing's happening. Maybe you haven't seen your change yet because your anger is hindering you. Maybe you haven't been able to worship because your anger is hindering you. Maybe you haven't moved to your next level in God because anger is holding you back. Maybe you haven't felt closer to God because your sin is a hindrance to you. Then Jesus says, okay, we recognize that anger hinders your worship. We recognize that harboring anger is deadly. But then Jesus helps us to understand how to get past it. Jesus tells them, here's how to move past the anger. As soon as you notice it in your life, Jesus says, settle it quickly. Amen. Jesus says, settle it quickly. I remember if you wanted to get somebody to fight when I was younger, you would tell them something like, you know, so-and-so said this about you. And then you just leave it alone. Just kind of mix it just a little bit. And then a few days later, you know, I heard they said this about you. And just let it keep on building up. And then once you got it built all the way up, you know, we do something simple. Like we put a pencil on their shoulder. I bet you won't knock it off.
What?
You know, I bet you won't knock it off. And then all of a sudden, all of the anger that you had in you erupts because you've been harboring it for far too long. My brothers and my sisters, Jesus said, as soon as you recognize that you got an issue with your brother or with your sister, before you get to the court and you drag them before everybody else, Jesus says, you deal with that quickly and get over it. Here it is. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anybody, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. In your sermon inserts, I gave you Matthew chapter number 6, verse 15. It's amazing because all of us know the Our Father prayer. We got to verse 14. Verse 15 says, but if you don't forgive somebody, your Father in heaven won't forgive you.
You're wondering why it is. You're walking around holding all of this weight. Forgiveness means that you pardon the person for his or her offense. You give up all feelings of getting even with them. You get over it. You let the hurt go and you move forward. Forgiveness means it's over. It's complete. It's finished. Okay, Pastor, how am I going to do that when I still feel the scar of what they did to me? How am I just going to leave church on Sunday and just let it go? I mean, when Pastor, you know, I was only 9 years old and he came into my room that, Pastor, you don't understand. I was just a child when my daddy walked out. And every time I see him, I remember the feeling of being neglected. Pastor, you don't understand. My whole life has been ruined by what they did. I can't just let that go. How do I get over it? My brothers and my sister, Jesus gives us the perfect example of how to get over anger. Jesus, who was perfectly and completely God, wrapped himself in flesh and came down to save a broken humanity. Jesus, who was perfectly holy, came down to save a sinful humanity. And Jesus healed people. Jesus opened blinded eyes. Jesus made people who couldn't walk to be able to walk. He went about doing good. Didn't hurt nobody. And they crucified him. They nailed him to a cross. And the Bible says he didn't say a mumbling word as they were beating him. They nailed him to the cross and hoisted him up. And the first words he says was, Father, forgive them. Because they don't even know what they are doing. If Jesus, who was perfectly holy, Jesus, who had done no wrong, can say, Father, forgive them. What then makes you think you got the right to hold in anger? Because you know all your own mess up, your own anger, your own issues. And so Jesus gave us the perfect example of how to look at somebody who hurt you and say, you know what? I'm letting it go because when I go to God, I don't want to have your issue holding me down. And so I let it go so I can worship God freely. Jesus Christ died on the cross is the perfect example for us of how to move past sin and not let the devil hold us hostage to it. Jesus Christ's death on the cross was what broke Satan's chains in your life. But so many of us were so used to it that we never let it go. Today, my brothers and my sisters, you've got the power to say, you know what? I'm over it now. I'm moving on now. I'm tired of holding in hate. I'm tired of holding in anger. I'm moving forward now because Jesus was the perfect example for me because Jesus gives me power. So here's what I want you to do. If you know you are the one who's held anger with daddy, with mama and them, with auntie and them, with my homeboys and them, with the dude I used to date and with the woman who left me and took the girl. You know you've been harboring anger. I dare you to simply text and say, you know what? I forgive you. They may not even know why. They moved on, but just, I'm getting it off. You ain't even got to admit that you did it. I don't really care at this point in time. I just want you to know I'm over it. And I dare you to send an email or send a text message or simply write them a letter and don't put a return address. I'm just saying I'm over it. And so now I can go before God and truly, freely worship. Somebody has made you angry. Move on quickly so that you can truly worship God. Yes. Begin to declare, I'm over it. Now, let's pray. Lord God, thank you for helping us to realize that sometimes it's our anger that's a hindrance for us. Thank you for helping us to realize that for years the devil has made a room in our hearts and we tried to figure out why it was that we could not worship you freely. God, we're saying today we're over it now.
We're moving forward. We are tired of being held hostage by what somebody else did to us because hating them was hurting us. So Lord God, we pray right now that as we release anger, as we say, you know what? I pardoned you. Your sin blinded you just how long you have been to me. I've pardoned you. Lord God, we pray right now that you help us to make that declaration today. For this is our prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand along the sanctuary with my brothers and my sisters. Listen. Here's the good news about letting that anger go. Some of us, we're so used to wanting to get revenge because you did something to me. I'm going to make sure I pay you back double what you did to me. Here it is. Jesus is a perfect example for us when Jesus says, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. It looked like the people who had attacked Jesus had won. It looked like they had gotten the victory. It looked like they had killed him. It looked like their accusations against him was right. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Here's the joy. While it looked like the devil had gotten the victory, Jesus said, God, I'm putting this in your hands. I ain't got time to be weighed down by you. Jesus let it go. And the joy is, 3 days later, my brothers and my sisters, he got up victorious. Let me help you to understand what that means for your life. When you give it over to God, and it looks like they win, God has a way of turning that thing around for your good. But first, you got to be willing to say, God, I'm giving it to you. I'm over it. Now, if you hear my brother, my sister, and you never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you never even accepted the fact that you can let it go. He freed you from the bondage of sin that has been holding you down for years. It's been anger and hatred and struggle, and you wondered why you couldn't get free. Jesus Christ died to set you free. 3 days later, he got up to make sure you have the victory over everything that the enemy tries to use to hold you back. You hear my brother, my sister, you never said to Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. We invite you to do that today. Here at Uplift, we don't make it hard for you. You don't have to walk down to give me your hand. We invite you to give Jesus Christ your heart standing right where you are by simply praying a collective prayer with us. Simply say, Dear Lord, I admit that I am a sinner. I admit that I've fallen short. I admit that I've messed up. But I accept that you sent Jesus to die for me. I accept that you raised him on the third day to save me. And because of that, I am saved. I am saved. I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Let's clap because somebody has made the decision to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior.